the mass, I watch the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed, I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I love my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big tie.
WOZO Radio, 103.9 LP FM, live in Knoxville, Tennessee, and you're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm here with Dale N. tonight. How are you doing, Dale?
Doing fine.
Sounds good. This is a live radio call-in show. We'll be talking about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. Conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, holy books, and superstitions. Despite what Steve Martin would have you think, there are an awful lot of atheist songs out there, and you'll be hearing them right here on this program and generally on this station as they are in rotation. I'll also be talking about atheist and rationalist groups that exist here in Knoxville and how you can connect with them. Also, did you know that there is an atheist call-in television show broadcasting right here in Knoxville? Dale, do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
You did? How?
I've watched your show many times.
Your show many times. You've been on the show as well. Matter of fact, I think we're going to be on that next week, aren't we?
Yes, we're going to be talking about brainwashing in America, and there's so much of it going on.
In America, really?
Yeah.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, we'll get to that on the show next week. Might even talk a little bit about it tonight. But if you're in the audience in Knoxville, Tennessee, or anywhere in the nation, really, listening to this on the interwebs, you can call us and talk to us, join the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, I was going to say about the Atheist Call-In TV show. It's been broadcasting for over 6 years, and most people don't even know we have it. It's just amazing that an Atheist Call-In show would be so extant for so long, and very few people have heard of it. And the way you watch it is to go to ctvknox.org. That's Community Access TV on Comcast Channel 12. There's also like a, what's the other carrier? Charter, Channel 192.
Yeah, but you can get it on the computer, too, and you don't even have to be in the Knoxville system.
Right. You can get it anywhere in the world on ctvknox.org every Tuesday at 5 o'clock. Or most Tuesdays at 5 o'clock, because we've been being preempted by the beer board in Knox County at least once a month. I think it happened 2 times in February, and it's a short month anyway. Anyway, Dale, would you like to introduce the topic tonight?
What is the topic tonight?
Oh, it's about who's a Christian and is Trump actually a Christian?
Oh. Well, now I suppose that's between him and his creator, but all I know is what I see on TV, him saying and doing and such as that.
Yeah, it's not what your run-of-the-mill Christian would think would be something that a Christian would do.
There's been a lot of Christians that have run for president. As a matter of fact, only one of our presidents has not been a Protestant, and that was Kennedy.
That was Kennedy, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was a big problem when he ran for office, because a lot of people thought that if he was president, then it would really be the Pope in charge of America.
Yeah. Yeah, they thought that, and that wasn't... he, of course, said that that's not the case, that he is... you know, following the rule of law, and that's what he was going to do, and that's what he did up until he could not do it any longer.
Mm-hmm. It's very strange that there's so few Catholics that have run in one office of that high of office in America. It just shows you the power of the Protestant political groups in America, the Southern Baptist group, the Protestants in general, that they've been able to put like 44 presidents in office.
Yeah,
in the course of the human, American history.
Well, when I say that, and I saw that fact that they were all Protestants except for Kennedy, that's not exactly true. Washington was not a Christian, and neither was Jefferson or Madison. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, look them up, they're under the deist label.
I agree with you. A lot of people would say that they were Christian, of course, just because it's a Christian country and it was founded on Christian values, which is BS. But the majority of the people in America have been Christian, and the majority have been Protestant. So they generalize and say that all of our presidents were. However, one thing that's interesting is that Jefferson Bible. You know about the Jeffersonian Bible.
Yeah.
Would you tell the audience a little bit about that?
Yeah. Thomas Jefferson was the, we all know about cut and paste. Well, Thomas Jefferson actually invented that. As a matter of fact, Thomas Jefferson had several inventions. But what he did was he bought two Bibles because he had to have one in case he cut through the other side, and he started cutting up the Bible. First thing he did was he just cut out all the parts that was he considered to be supernatural nonsense, and the first part he cut out was the Old Testament.
Entirely.
Because it didn't have very little that wasn't supernatural, what he considered nonsense. But then he went through and started cutting out the rest, and he pasted it into his book, and it was his... this has been called the Jefferson Bible, but he basically took out the things that Jesus said that he thought was worthwhile.
You mean cut them out and put them in the new book?
Right, right. So it's a much abbreviated. As a matter of fact, he may have invented the Reader's Digest way of cutting a book down.
Yeah. The thing about it is it's not something that was done, 200 years ago and forgotten. You can go online right now and buy a copy of the Jeffersonian Bible, pretty much any book outlet that you can find.
Well, you could do that.
Or download it.
You could just download it for free if you're like
someone. You think it's in the public domain now?
Oh, I know it is because I've already downloaded it.
Yeah. No, it's like pretty much anything over 50 years old, well, let's say 100 anyway. Because nowadays, a lot of families are inheriting rights from people who create works of art. But that definitely is. And matter of fact, there are several early founding fathers that were not even Christian at all. Like, what was it? Thomas Paine. He wrote The Age of Reason. And if you read The Age of Reason, you will notice that he just goes through the Bible and just rips it a new one. It shows how utterly foolish it is, pretty much from start to finish.
Thomas Paine, you can also get his book, Age of Reason, for free, downloaded from the Internet.
Right, just go look for it and download it.
Did I mention he was a deist?
He probably was. Matter of fact, he was. Matter of fact, one of the reasons that he dumped Christianity, per se, was he felt that it maligned the true God. The true God, a real God out there would not stoop to all the stuff that was attributed to him in the Bible.
Well, I guess I would agree to that. I would think that a God would be such a self-assured individual that there would be no reason to go around killing people for minor offenses. You would think that, but this sort of vengeful God was what he was he was talking against. But yes, if you want to go through the old, as a matter of fact, the Old and New Testament, he goes through it book by book,
right.
And you will. And the stuff he discovered was, 200 years ago, or I think it was
225 or 230 something like that.
He was a very meticulous reader, and he picked up on a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of math in the Bible that does not make sense. There would be places where they would be adding up stuff, and to show you how meticulous of a person he was, he would add them up and go, wait a minute, you came out to the wrong sum.
Yeah.
And such things as that. Mm-hmm. Was also, he would point out stuff that appeared to be atrocities that a lot of Bible readers are not aware of. There was, one story about the old prophet that was bald and getting harassed.
Oh, Isaiah, I think it was.
And then
a bunch of kids called him Baldy, and he cursed them in the name of God, and God sent two she-bears to rip up 42 children. That's quite a price to pay for calling somebody bald.
Yeah, but it is an excellent way to get children to behave.
Yeah, yeah, but when you start believing that type of thing is actually true, then we have a problem.
You may have more nightmares, too.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact,
we're not even getting into demons or anything. We're just talking natural bears.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, if I read the story as a kid and then I sat down at my bed to do my prayers, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, it almost sounds like you're giving your last will and testament before each night, just in case you don't make it through the night.
Yeah, which makes going to sleep a little bit harder when you think it might be the last time you actually do. But never a problem for parents who tell their children that. I don't understand that, why that would be something they'd want to do.
But anyway, Thomas Paine, he did go. If you're one of those people that are Bible scholars, Thomas Paine is an excellent gentleman to get his book, Age of Reason. You might be studying just one particular book, John or Matthew or Ecclesiastics or something like that, and you could go to his small section and get another point of view. Even if you're a Christian, you still get another point of view about that book, and somebody who was very meticulous with his observations.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, father of the American Revolution, Thomas Paine.
Right. His other books are really mainly what he's known for. He bolstered the American psyche and backbone and morale. Yeah. During a time it was sorely needed, when it was the darkest time of the American Revolution, he put out pamphlets and tracts and papers telling the American people what to keep in mind, that we're going forward. We're fighting, you know, for our freedoms. We're fighting for independence against the royal rule, et cetera, et cetera. And everybody loved him for it. He was a great hero of the time as far as literature works. However, once he wrote Age of Reason, many, many people turned their backs on him. He was maligned to such an extent that when he traveled from place to place, they did not want him there. They did not want to have him in their place. Matter of fact, he wrote Age of Reason, well, this is during the time it was written, while he was in a French prison. But when he actually died, they kept moving his bones around so much because no cemetery wanted him that they actually lost track of where he was buried. We don't know where he's buried.
That's true. We do not know where he's buried. Mm-hmm.
A couple of other names who, down through history of America, that have come down on his side of Christianity as far as the literature and why it's wrong and how it's wrong would be Mark Twain and Robert Ingersoll. Mark Twain, Letters from Earth, have you read those?
Yes.
Yeah, where he actually has the devil writing God, I think it is?
Yes.
From the earth, telling what a messed up place it is. But what's really interesting, and I recommend people go out and look him up, is Robert G. Ingersoll, because everybody knows Mark Twain. They know he can go online and look for his work and download anything from him. But Robert G. Ingersoll is a name that middle 1800s, he was a colonel in the Civil War, an attorney. After the war, he went, and, you know, like preachers used to go around and do tent revivals. Well, he would go around and do an anti-revival, pretty much. He would sell the idea of free thought, and tear the Bible apart, basically, and any supernatural belief. Are you familiar with Robert G. Ingersoll?
I know that a lot of my friends are, but I did look at one of his books, and I was sleepy that day, I think, and just could not get into it. My reading tends to be a more, for some reason, I just have not gotten into him.
Okay. He wrote a few things that I'd like to mention. One of them was called Ghosts, which has nothing to do with the supernatural ghosts, but he's saying that basically the people who wrote the Bible and who put it together are dead now, but they're still ruling us. We're being ruled by ghosts. You know, the ideas that these people put forward, we can't seem to shake them from our society. And there was another book, it was about the Decalogue, the first five books of the Bible, but I can't remember. It was Robert G. Ingersoll's writing. He really went in detail about how it couldn't possibly have happened and why. But he was a well-known orator of his day, traveled all over the country, and he even at one time, I think he spoke to like 50,000 people. This is before the days of megaphones and, electronic microphones and speakers, and would still pack people in at $1 a ticket, which was a huge sum at that time. Anyway, getting back to our topic, who's a Christian? Is Trump a Christian?
I believe he was a member of the Presbyterian Church. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And that's where his family attended, and I don't recall the name of the church that he went to or goes to. Mm-hmm. He also has spoken highly of Jesus, I believe, and I think he maybe gives him his Trump seal of approval.
Mm-hmm. What's funny, as a matter of fact, John made this point to me. John Webster was supposed to be on the show with us today, but for some reason he hasn't made it. He was saying that when asked about his favorite book of the Bible, he really couldn't come up with one. He couldn't come up with a favorite verse even. But a lot of Christians don't study the Bible. They're Christian in name only. Sina. Christian in name only. Sino. but at the same time, he is pushing a Christian agenda, a particular Protestant agenda, fundamentalist agenda from the White House. Matter of fact, his vice president is a fundamentalist Christian who is evangelical. And a lot of people feel that as bad as Trump is, and this is personal opinion, that we would be better off with him than an evangelical fundamentalist in chief in the White House.
Well, the grass is always greener on the other side, but I do not know one way or the other if Mr. Pence would be better or not as good.
Well, my thought is, excuse me, better a devil you know than a devil that's a loose cannon like Trump is. Like, we have been fighting as a country, and Democrats and an enlightened society have been fighting fundamental Christianity since the 40s and 50s. Since the time of Joseph McCarthy. And we pretty much have laws in place. We have the Constitution. We can identify that threat and work with that threat or against that threat to continue a viable society. However, Trump to me is such a loose cannon. You don't know which way he's going to turn. He's already turned on the press, turned on the judiciary.
Larry, I think you're totally wrong.
Okay.
I mean, seriously, and Mr. Trump has told the American people exactly what he was going to do, and that's exactly what he's doing. I mean, if you think that he's a law and order sort of guy, well, he's already said that he could kill someone and get away with it. Mm-hmm. He told the American people that if he was to break the law, that we would still vote for him, and he was absolutely correct.
Yeah, but he didn't say anything about turning against the judiciary or turning against the press when he was running. He called them fake news all along, but at the same time, he hasn't started kicking them out of the White House.
You couldn't do that until you get to the White House.
I agree. Okay. But still,
I mean, of our politicians, I somehow think that he's been one of the most honest that we've had. Before he was elected, he already said, in reference, I mean, as an example, I'm going to jail my political opponents. Okay. I mean, he said he would appoint a special prosecutor.
I mean, yeah, he said he would, but he didn't.
He said he would appoint a special prosecutor to have Hillary Clinton put in jail.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that the American people should know is that, one, that's not the way the presidency works, and he should have known that. In fact, Hillary should have mentioned that to him. But, two, it says, I'm going to take care of my political enemies, and that's his personality all along. His what do they call that? It's something like, if somebody does something bad to you, you return in kind 5 or 10 or 15 mm-hmm. times.
It sounds biblical.
Well, it does sound pretty biblical, doesn't it? But he has told us exactly what he was going to do, and he's doing it.
You're saying that the problem lies on the electorate. That he's being honest. That's all the thing about it is, he said he was going to persecute Hillary. He didn't. So that's
honest. Whoa, he's not through. There may be.
No, he said in one of his rallies after the election that type of thing played well during his election, but since he's been elected, he's going to drop it now. He just said it doesn't play well now.
Now, Larry,
he just let it go.
Now, as a politician, you're not accusing Mr. Trump of making campaign promises that he has no intention to.
I am not doing that. I am accusing you of saying he's honest when he does that.
Well, he's not through yet. I mean, the coin hasn't finished being flipped. He might find something to prosecute her for. But
likely that we'll find something to prosecute him for first.
Well, I don't know about that, but his, who is Michael Flynn? His
Chief of Staff? No.
He was Secretary of Defense? This is the gentleman who is this gentleman was contacting the Russians during the campaign and then lied to the mm-hmm. FBI about it. Well, Mr. Flynn lying to the FBI about this particular thing is a felony, mm-hmm. but now that Mr. Trump has put into office his own attorney general who also worked on the campaign, it's looking doubtful that Mr. Flynn will be prosecuted.
Yeah.
So, because who knows what could come out of that.
Right. But this show is turning particularly political.
Oh,
I think we need to get back to
the theme
of the show, which is...
That he's a Christian.
Yeah.
Well, I believe that most Christians who have perused the Bible at all or watched any preachers would know that normally it's called 2 Corinthians instead mm-hmm. of what Mr. Trump called it, which is
2 Corinthians. Yeah. But the thing about it is why, and this is mainly what the program is about, is a logical fallacy called no true Scotsman. I mean, the thing is, like, there's no true Scotsman fallacy. The joke goes like this, or the story goes like this. You're in a bar, you're talking to McGillicuddy, and you're talking about McIntosh, who lives up the hill, and McGillicuddy says that McIntosh is not a true Scotsman because he doesn't like Scotch whiskey. You know, no true Scotsman. You know, but he is a Scotsman. Of course he is. It's just how different people interpret true Scotsman, and it's the same way with Trump. Now he may be a Presbyterian, but a Catholic would think he's going to hell. And he's not a true Christian because he doesn't take communion. He doesn't go get his confession, do his confession. Therefore, he's not a good Catholic. He's not even a member of the Catholic Church. So he wouldn't be going to heaven. We're looking at our local expert on the subject, I guess.
Yes, yes.
Would you like to weigh in?
Well, I think the Catholic Church has... in recent years softened their stance on that and tried to be more friendly with other religions. Yeah.
Well, so telling them they're going to hell would be an unfriendly thing to do.
Well, right.
Even the Pope himself said that atheists could go to heaven, but when you ask him about it, he says, yeah, all they got to do is become a Catholic.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, you got to be a Christian to go to heaven. And of course, he means Catholic. Catholic Christian. Would you like to give a DJ name or your name on air, or would you rather not?
I have family that is religious, so I would say no.
And let's not use my last name.
We'll call her Mary. How's that?
Mary. Okay, that's a good Catholic name.
Mary X. Okay, anyway, so that's a logical fallacy. It's like anybody who says somebody else is not a Christian, they're coming from their own background in Christianity. If they're, let's see, Mormon. Mormons consider themselves Christians, too, because they believe in Jesus Christ as being the prophet, and I don't know if they believe he's the Son of God. But they consider themselves a sect of Christianity. Of course, Baptists don't, Catholics don't. And, of course, if you're any other kind of religion besides Christianity or a non-religion, you're still going to hell. One of the things I like to say on this program is everybody's going to some other religion's hell. And nobody is safe. And no reason to feel smug about it.
Deists have no hell.
No, but you're going to the Catholic hell or the Protestant hell or somebody else's hell. Everybody's going to somebody's hell.
Or a bunch of them. I don't know if I can split myself up.
Some people say that what you really should do is pick the religion with the worst hell and go with that one to be safe.
Oh, I see. Huh.
But I think it's all silly. You need evidence before you should trust yourself to believe something. Evidence is everything. Basically. Okay, we're getting down to the bottom of the hour. I think we should take our break now. This is WOZO 103.9 LPFM, live here in Knoxville, Tennessee. This is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. We're going to take a short break. We're going to listen to a short message from the Rationalist of East Tennessee, and then you'll hear Holly Neer sing I Ain't Afraid, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Do you find stories of talking snakes laughable? Do you prefer the scientific method over supernatural beliefs? Are you concerned about religious leaders and organizations imposing their values and rules on your body, your family, and the rest of our society? Well, take comfort in the fact that you're not alone. The Rationalists of East Tennessee meets weekly for fellowship and provides a forum for people who support skeptical thinking and rational discussion of these and other issues. To find out more information or to find out about our next meeting, visit us on the web at www.rationalist.org.
Gods of war and glory. Watch out for the threats of purgatory. your spirit. I ain't afraid of your teachers. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. I ain't afraid of your Sabbath. I ain't afraid of your borders. I ain't afraid of your dances. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. I ain't afraid of your children. I ain't afraid of your music. I ain't afraid of your stories. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. I ain't afraid of your Yahweh. I ain't afraid of your Allah. I ain't afraid of your Jesus. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. I ain't afraid.
And we're back. This is Digital Free Thought Radio, WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM, live here in Knoxville, Tennessee. This is the Free Thought Radio Hour. It comes on 6 o'clock every Sunday. Hold your dial position right here, and every weekend about 6 o'clock every Sunday. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about the atheist groups that are here in Knoxville. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville. Founded in 2002 and now has over 666 members. We got 667 last week. You can find it online at KnoxvilleAtheist.org or KnoxvilleAtheist.com. You can join them on their weekly meetup near Westtown in the Flats and Taps Bar and Grill. They have happy hour food every Tuesday at about 5:30 or 6. Everybody's welcome as long as you don't preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Apologies to Matt Dillahunty. Then there's the Rationalists of East Tennessee. They've been around for about 20 years. RET has biweekly presentations and discussions at the Pellissippi State Campus near Hardin Valley Road. They meet the first and third Sundays in the Goins Administration Building Cafeteria Annex. And if that's confusing, just follow the signs or go to the website rationalist.org and click on the directions button. Also, there's Sunday Assembly, which started in England just a few years ago, and it's now spread around the world. The Sunday Assembly is a no-God church setting for those who've had enough of religion but still like the fellowship of a church-type gathering. They meet at the International Building downtown near the World's Fair Center every fourth Sunday, so that's the fourth Sunday of every month, at around 10:30 church time. And the Freedom from Religion Foundation has a new chapter in Knoxville, Tennessee. It's called the Freedom from Religion Foundation of East Tennessee. It meets once a month on the third Wednesday, that's right, at the Earth Fair at Turkey Creek at 7 o'clock. If you'd like to volunteer for your time, or just if you're just interested in learning more about the Freedom from Religion Foundation, go to Earth Fair, Turkey Creek, 7 o'clock on the third Wednesday of every month. There's also another group in Knoxville that I might want to mention. The Humanists of East Tennessee meets up four or five times a month for dinners, hikes, swimming, picnics, etc. You can find the Humanists of East Tennessee by doing a Google on them or going to meetup.com. And if you have a community event or would like a public announcement to be made on WOZO Radio, you can do that by just creating an MP3 file to reflect that event, then contact us via our website, WOZOradio.com, to arrange for it to be played in our rotation. Okay, let's get back to our topic. You say that President Trump is a Christian.
No. No. Larry, I
engaged him.
No, I didn't say that. But see, I have a very strict standard when it comes to religion and as to whether someone is or is not a Christian.
Okay.
I mean,
other people may have other standards.
There are Protestants that say that the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons are not Christian, mm-hmm. and so forth and so on.
Yep.
My standard is If someone tells me that they're a Christian, fine.
Right.
It's very strict. Yeah. I mean, you have to at least say you're a Christian.
Well, that works for me, too, because we can't see inside the person's head, and we can only go with what they say. You said they had a laying of hands on during his, I guess it was during his election process?
Yeah, and in September, Mr. Trump was at some northern city, one of those Cleveland, Detroit, one of those places, and there was a minister there, and I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. I think it was like Powell.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not a church service so much as I think it was a gathering of religious folks to show their support. And this minister explained that some other minister who was very famous, who he did not include the name of, had said that Mr. Trump, if he did run for president, then he would be attacked as no other person had ever been attacked before by demons, by demonic influences. Mm-hmm. And so Mr. Pence and Mr. Trump and the group there, they were all laying hands on Mr. Trump and praying to keep to keep him protected from these demonic attacks.
How will we know if that worked?
Well, if he got elected president, then it worked.
But how do we know that the demons didn't want to be elected president so that they could be actual president? We got demons running.
Well,
the
minister
now
explained that. He said that Mr. Trump was going to be attacked by the demons to keep him out of the presidency.
And he knows this how, I wonder?
He spoke to someone. It's all on YouTube. You find everything on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I feel comforted, don't you?
Comforted?
Yeah, there's no demons in the White House now.
No. The demons were I believe that he was suggesting that was the Democrats. That were the demons.
They were the demons.
They would be attacking him to keep him out of the White House. Or supernatural demons, I guess, would be included as well. It was almost an exorcism, but I did not see Mr. Trump's mouth open and pea green vomit come out. So
yeah.
I don't think it was like the movie Exorcist.
And there wasn't a herd of pigs to put the souls into anyway, the demons.
There was no pigs. That's true. That's true. Yeah.
So maybe they're still there. Who knows? May have to have a weekly demon cleansing in the White House.
I wouldn't know. I'm not an expert on that sort of thing. Catholics are, but now we have demon exorcisms that are being done by Protestants. They're also picking up the habit.
Yeah, what gets me is how do they know if they're successful or not? I mean, if the demons are invisible, they can hide, and, you know, they don't have to express their presence. They could just go dormant, and you'd never know that they weren't still in there. I mean, there's reason to believe things, and since there's no evidence whatsoever that demons even exist, why would we buy into the fact that they infest us any more than we buy into the fact that Scientologists who claim that, what is it, thetans, infest our souls? You know, it's sin, or it's thetans, or it's demons. And there's never been any kind of proof that souls even exist. You know, the time to worry about this stuff is when you have evidence that they exist. And we can start with the evidence of a soul, which for 2,000, 3,000 years have been claimed, but never demonstrated.
Well, I don't know. I couldn't tell you anything about demonstrating. I mean, religion is about faith. I'd say if you were able to prove it one way or the other, then you might have less religion going on. However, since it is a matter of faith, and there is a lot of scientific evidence that disproves some aspects of the Bible, it still does not appear to be diminishing anybody's faith. So as far as evidence, I really don't use that a lot. And well, I guess I do, but in this sort of thing, it doesn't really make a lot of difference to me.
Why would you not?
Well, when the story of Mr. Trump having the laying on of hands and all, that's not the first thing that came to my mind. How do they know that demons exist or something like that? I just thought they were being very. Are you allowed to say silly on the radio?
Certainly.
Okay.
They're silly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing about it is, a lot of people are deadly serious about these things. There have been exorcisms handled in church where they have wrapped up the person in blankets and pillows and suffocated them by laying on them to get rid of these demons. It kills people in some cases. And we still have it going on. The Catholic Church have ramped up their priestly exorcism school so that they're having more priests come in and learn how to do exorcisms. It's not only silly, it's deadly serious and deadly. I mean, it can be fatal, I'll put it that way. And talking about faith, maybe we should talk about faith a little bit. One of the cards I give out at the Atheist Society of Knoxville has a big old smiley face with a thumbs up on it saying, "Faith is incredible. You can believe anything with faith." And that's true. Any religion, any sect, any demon or cherubim or heaven or hell or soul or whatever, you can believe anything you want to with faith. Matter of fact, every religion uses faith to bolster its belief. It's silly. You know, I use the word incredible on purpose. You know, faith is incredible, not credible. But it's a kind of a double entendre I use on the card. But who is it? It was some doctor said that, it's Nietzsche. It says that a simple stroll through a lunatic asylum will show you that faith does not mean anything.
Because lunatics have faith in...
Well, they believe what they see. They believe what their minds tell them. They practice faith in their intuitions.
Well, I used to work in not a lunatic asylum, but I used to work on a psychiatric institution. Mm-hmm. And one of the first days I got there, I ran into. In years past, you had have this personality delusion where someone was Napoleon. I think they sometimes call it the Napoleon complex.
Mm-hmm.
But in later days, people would think that they're Jesus Christ. And one of the first few days that I was there, I ran into two fellows who thought they were Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Unquestioning belief in their own thoughts.
They thought they were mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Yeah. So I had them talk to each other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of the fellows said, I know I'm not Jesus Christ anymore. I realize I was just crazy in the head."
And he was cured?
No,
just like that.
No, well, he said, "I know I'm not Jesus Christ, but that guy over there
is."
There
he is. Well, that happens a lot of times, not just in lunatics.
Well, it showed you how bad of a psychiatric technician I was. I mean, this guy may have been diminished in his delusion, but the other guy was doubled in his delusion because now he has a disciple.
Right. Did you ever see that movie with Peter O'Toole in it who thought he was Jesus?
Peter O'Toole thought he was Jesus?
Yeah.
No.
He said that at first he thought he was God, but whenever he was praying, he found out that he was just talking to himself. So, you know, he's Jesus.
Oh, I didn't catch that movie.
Yeah, it came out in the 60s, so it's been, 50 years since it came out. I wish I could remember the name of it. But
it's more like 67. 50.
Maybe. Peter O'Toole as God. Let me try that.
Well, religion has been... You know, it's a mainstay in America. I think every politician must address it in one way or the other.
Yeah. That movie was called The Ruling Class. So if you get a chance to see that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we talked about faith. We talked about logical fallacy of Scotsman fallacy.
That you're not good enough of a Scotsman.
Yeah, you're not the perfect Scotsman, according to this person who happens to be speaking.
You were talking before about the Scotsman deal, and that is you're not good enough of a Christian or whatever. We had a thing called the Johnson policy.
The Johnson rule.
The Johnson rule. Is that the one about the IRS and?
I believe it's true that if you're taking tax deduction through a 501(c). I may not have the number right, but if you're getting a tax write-off through a nonprofit religious organization, then you cannot use your pulpit to try to influence the political environment.
You cannot preach from the pulpit. It is legal to pass out voting guides.
That should not. No, not under the Johnson.
I believe.
I don't think so.
I believe so. You're allowed. If I'm not mistaken, and maybe I am, but you're allowed to instruct your parishioners about specific issues when they're voting. For example, yes or no to drinking, yes or no to abortion, yes or no to whatever that those sort of things might be going on. But you are not supposed to, if I'm not mistaken, endorse a candidate. Mr. Trump, as a friend to religion in general, says that he will destroy the Johnson rule or the Johnson law or whatever it's called,
so that churches
can preach from the pulpit, endorse a candidate, and that would be any church.
Right, and the thing about it is...
But Christian or not is what I mean.
Right,
so.
Right. But it's being flaunted so much nowadays, I mean, ignored, that it's almost a paper roll. I mean, it's just nobody really pays attention to it in many churches. They just go ahead and do it. Matter of fact, a few years ago, there was a thing called a Freedom Sunday. Did you remember that?
No.
It's where the preachers, and I think it was the Southern Baptist group, sent around a flyer saying to... not only endorse candidates and tell your people who to vote for, but record it and send it to the IRS.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they did that, and the IRS never did anything about it. And that's what I'm saying. That's why the Freedom From Religion Foundation out of Madison, Wisconsin, has a lawsuit against the IRS right now to say, why are you not enforcing this rule? I mean, it's a law, but you're not enforcing it. And, of course, the reason is that most of the people in the IRS are Christians. Of course, like most people in America are Christians. But they are not enforcing that rule, and the IRS is taking them to task over it.
Now, I'd like to say at this point that I think that the people of the IRS are really hardworking individuals that are trying to perform a very difficult job.
They are true Christians.
Very difficult job in financing this great country of ours. And I think if I was wearing a hat right now, I would tip it.
And you know what's funny is the Republicans, matter of fact, it's a plank in the Texas Republican platform. I don't know if it's in the national Republican platform. But to do away with the IRS, I mean, simply get rid of it, defund it, get rid of it, and I think
get rid of them.
The IRS, that there should be another agency taking over, but most of the tax money should go to the states and not to the nation, and that we should find another way to fund our federal troops, but not through the IRS.
Never heard of that.
Yeah. There's a lot of things in the Texas Republican platform which I read when Bush was in office. Of course, some of the things are reflected in the federal, national, Republican platform, like getting rid of the Department of Education, getting rid of the Department of Health, and several other departments. They just want to defund them and get rid of them and revert their powers back to the states.
Hmm.
But I recommend that everybody out there in earshot get a copy of the Republican National platform and read that thing. It would amaze me, and I'm sure it would amaze you.
Well, perhaps that puts into perspective what the only thing I know about the Republican platforms is that several years ago they came out against teaching critical thinking to children in schools.
They're still doing that, yeah.
They do.
Uh-huh. they're still doing it. Matter of fact,
now it seems to make more sense. I mean, you don't want children thinking critically or objectively.
Yeah, there's a recent law that passed on that. I don't have the details in front of me, so I'm not going to go into it. But it's like the state has what solidified non-critical thinking or outlawed rational thinking and discussion on certain topics. And they're just scared. You know,
this was just the Republican critical platform as set down in Texas.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
This is just what things that they agreed with, and not teaching it to kids is what they specifically were
Well, of course
addressing.
Not. Kids grow up. They get to be tithers.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've got about 10 minutes left in the program. Do we have any further topics we want to get into on this? Or
I would like to mention that Thomas Paine was a deist.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, do you know what
Jefferson was too?
Here is a piece of Thomas Paine trivia for you,
okay.
Larry.
Sure.
What was Thomas Paine's original name before he changed it?
I have no idea.
Thomas Paine.
Then he didn't change it, did he?
He did change it from P-A. His last name was spelled P-A-I-N. He changed
really?
It to P-A-I-N-E.
So his parents were without the E?
Right. I don't know why.
We've got a few minutes before the top of the hour. We're going to talk a little bit about our TV show that will be coming up this Tuesday on ctvknox.org. You can watch it online at ctvknox.org or Channel 12 on Comcast TV. Dale, what's the topic going to be?
Well, first of all, there's a correction, Larry. It's not this Tuesday. It's the Tuesday after next. That would be March the 7th.
Okay, March 7th.
But when we did that show on Scientology, there came to be a lot of interest on how can people get, the question was brainwashed into such a thing as Scientology or the Moonies or any of these other cult-like figures. And so that subject became interesting. And so what we're going to be doing is brainwashing in America, a little bit of a history and a little bit of what's going on now.
Uh-huh.
And it's very, very interesting.
And not only those cult-type religions, but just regular religions, run-of-the-mill religions. You're talking about brainwashing. You're talking about brainwashing children, indoctrination. You're talking about catching people before they're the age of reason and filling their heads full of all kinds of supernatural beliefs and dogma.
I wasn't going to go there, but...
I'll go there.
Yeah, I was looking in an entirely different area, like brainwashing adults, like... Does it happen to you on a daily basis?
Well, that certainly does open it up. And since we've come up to the top of the hour, we're going to leave you with Dan Sartain and the Atheist Funeral. This is a little bit more of a toe-tapper. And we'll see you next week, 6 o'clock on this same radio station. See you then.
Knoxville. KFAB Book Club, We Should All Be Feminists, with internationally renowned novelist and speaker Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, in person on Sunday, March 5th at 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Lawson McGee Library, 500 West Church Avenue, right here in Knoxville. We Should All Be Feminists is based on a popular talk that Adichie gave in 2012, was later published in book form in 2014. The Knoxville Feminist Action Brigade, or KFAB for short, is dedicated to providing a fun and empowering space for Knoxvillians committed to feminism and reproductive rights to engage in discourse and enact change. For more information, you can check out Knoxville Feminist Action Brigade on Facebook. Once again, that is We Should All Be Feminists, with Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie in person at the KFAB Book Club, Lawson McGee Library, Sunday, March 5th at 1:30 p.m.
WOZOLP, Knoxville.